Coming to you live from the basement of an abandoned training facility where we talk about fighting, training, and events. It's the Fight Mixer Show, where you can hear about all the local and world combat sports happenings. Get ready. It's time to gear up and square up because we're going live on the Fight Mixer Show.
Welcome to the Fight
What's
Mixer.
What's up, fellas? What's up?
What's going on? What's poppin'? We got the champ is here. Reggie, what's going on, brother?
Easy.
What's up, y'all? Yes, I am the people's champ. Thank you guys for having me on. I greatly appreciate it. I really, really do.
One of the best motherfuckers in the game, ladies and gentlemen. He's on our show. It's an honor and a pleasure to be speaking to you, good sir. And we're mentioning and talking about before the show that, you know, I saw your last performance. It was incredible. And he said, you know what? You're like, unbelievably modest. You know, it's okay to pat yourself on the back, sir. You fought incredible. And you are a force to be reckoned with in the BKFC. You don't see it the way we see it?
I don't know, man. Like I said, I'm my own biggest critic when it comes to life in general. And I'm always on the quest to get better. And I feel like if you keep that modesty, that humbleness, not projected just outwardly, but also inwardly, it continues that quest. I feel like there's still more work to be done. I could have done a few things better in that fight. But like you guys said, I went out there and I did the job. I got the job done. And that's what it's about. Nobody is going to get in that squared circle and beat me by any means necessary. If I got to outbox you, I outbox you. If I got to manhandle you or rough you up, then I'll manhandle you or rough you up. You know, I proved that I can go in there and be a complete, well-rounded bare-knuckle fighter. And that's what I'm working towards.
Right on. And we also have co-hosting tonight one of the baddest motherfucking managers in the game. Sir, how you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. You know, I love this. I absolutely love everything about bare knuckle. And I love talking bare knuckle. I love talking to people like Reggie. These guys inspire me. My own guy, Sam Shoemaker, inspires me every single day. These guys are just another breed of human being. To compete in this sport at a high level requires somebody that is just a little bit different than the rest of us. And to me, that's inspiring, man. I mean, you know, I competed in combat sports, but I never stepped to that level. You know, like that's an entirely different level of fearlessness. Not to say I wouldn't do it if I was healthy, but dude, like, no, I will tell you right now that my heart's going to be thumping when I step in that ring. You know, like what's it like, Reggie?
Like the first,
what is that like?
The
like
first
that
fight,
moment.
The first fight, I was nervous. I want to say maybe in the little bit in the Bedford fight, but really, I'm not scared. I'm excited. I'm like especially the chop shot fight. I wasn't nervous at all. I was like, oh yeah. We should go to work, bro. Let's do it. You know what I'm saying? And I knew what I was gonna do off the line. You know, so I live for this sport. And that when you talk about it as far as like a different breed of people, you know, boxing, when it originally surfaced as far as, you know, old school boxing, it was the poor man's sport. It was the way out. It was the gateway for the hardworking man to not have to, you know, he could give something of himself if he dedicated himself hard enough to it. And it was his way out. Nowadays in boxing, we don't have that. It is tailor-made for superstars and, you know, guys that are being brought along in the sport. So now you have bare knuckle that comes along. And you have guys like me you know, that are the average man that can fight his ass off and is hungry. Well, this is my gateway. This is my way out. This is my passion. You know, and for a lot of these other guys, whether they have competed in the UFC or Bellator or these other, you know, facets of combat sports, for them, they still have that hunger that, you know, it's a different want. It's a different desire. You have to have that in order to get in there and truly compete in bare knuckle. And you see it between the guys that just get in there and get whitewashed. And then you get guys like Zach Calmus, who was taking an ass whooping.
Yeah,
taking an ass whooping. Right, but refuse to quit.
I'm telling you, right?
Because he went. He came from tryouts, y'all. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so that's what I'm saying. It's guys like that who are just. I can't even explain it, and that's me all the time. It does not matter whether I win a title, belt, whatever. I'm hungry. I'm passionate about this sport. And
that's a scary.
My bad. I mean to cut you off, y'all.
No. Hey, but hey, a guy like Zach Calmus is a scary, scary person.
Agreed.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like somebody that just keeps coming no matter what you throw at them. Like, I'm sorry. I don't want anything to do with that, you know? And there are a number of guys like that, you know, Reggie, we've seen that from you. You've taken shots and just keep coming.
It did not matter what Johnny did to me. How many times he knocked me down? My dumb ass was too stupid to quit. I was going to keep getting up and keep moving forward, whether I was getting beat up or not. I mean, he literally said, here, come eat this right hand. And I ran right into it. You know what I mean? And what I do, I got up and ran right back in there, you know? So it's a different breed of person.
It is a different breed of person. Like, what is that? Like, what has to be inside of a person, you know? And I'm, just for the average listener, listen, I've been in fist fights. I've been in street fights. And I've been in the combat sports arena, you know, but just from your perspective, what is that about a person that causes you to be that way? You know, most people would just say, okay, that's enough, you know? But is it something inside of you? Is it something like the way that you grew up? Like, what is that about you specifically that causes that inside of you?
For me, it's a culmination of things. I want to say the first is just the struggles and the hardships that I went through in life a little bit. I always say my biggest opponent was always myself with some of the bad decisions and choices I made and just circumstances I found myself in that I probably didn't have to. But then I also look at some of just natural things that happened in life that I had to deal with and push past. And for me, it's, you know, there's a few times where I could have died out there in the street. So when I step in that squared circle, it's like, you got to kill me for this. This is my everything. This is my life. And I'm willing to, for me anyway, I can't speak for the other fighters, you know? But my mindset is you gotta kill me to beat me. I'm willing to die in that squared circle, and I'm going to keep coming and giving it to you for as long as they allow me to, or as long as this fight goes. You know?
Yeah, so, man.
That's the desire in me. And in every fight, it wouldn't matter who you put in front of me, that's the mentality that I approach it. And so if you can't come with that same mentality, then you're not going to survive. And we saw that in the Chop Chop fight. He did not want it as bad as I did. He wasn't as hungry as me. And I honestly don't think that my next opponent is going to want it or be as hungry as me. Once we really get in that fire, once you really get in that furnace with me, it's like there's been one person who's like, I'm going to take the heat.
Yeah,
go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no. There's three things I really respect about you. One, that you said and allude to that you're a dumb motherfucker, but that you are a scientist out there. You know how to compute, especially when you're in a fight. You know how to compute and, you know, kind of gauge where the strategy, where the fight the opponent wants to take you, and you completely take him out of his element and drag him into dark, dark waters. You are a scientist out there, and there's something scary about an intelligent fighter that just never gives up and will always press forward. Joe Elmore, another shout out to him, he alluded that you're the fucking man. He's also the man, and you guys have a similar style where you just keep coming fucking forward, and you literally bring on the fucking pain. And I just want to bring up also another thing. Kodo says, stop running that. But two things I respect, you never give up, and you always give back. And what I love about you, too, is despite your hardships, you're giving back to the community. You have an educated hands network where it's helping children to help with virtual schooling. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so the mindset behind that was because when COVID hit and everything was going on and kids stopped going to school and put a lot of stress on the parents, on the teachers, all of that. And so what we've been doing out of my gym is kind of getting the kids to help each other, you know, to not, so you don't have a parent breathing down your neck, like, oh, you got to do this or whatever. Some kids know some things and other kids don't. And so we've been trying to, you know, just lead in and have them help each other. And then we have our summer camp coming up, which is going to be even great because we have kids coming from different areas and, you know, things are starting to open up. And so it gives them the opportunity to learn from each other and not just on an academic level, but also on a life lesson level. And I feel like these are important things that kids need moving forward, especially with the uncertainty of the world that we live in. And so for me, I was like, what can I do? What do I have? You know, how do I have access to the children? And my gym was like the perfect platform, the way to start it out, you know, and we wanted to do it on a broader scale, but right now it's just in our local communities. And we just pushed the idea, help the kids learn from each other, you know, let them network with each other, take some of the weight and the stress off of us as parents, off the teachers, off of everybody else. And, and like I said, we have summer camp coming up. We've made sure that we're devoting just an hour a day of the camp for the kids to help teach each other and learn from each other. So just little ways. We have a mentor program out of my gym that we take in a few troubled youths every month and try to help them get back on their feet and find some direction in whatever they want to do. It's not really, not everything is about fighting. Fighting saved my life, but it gave me a life to be able to give back to other people in so many different ways.
Something you'd say about a tough guy and obviously a title contender and one of the baddest mofos right now in the BKFC, who's also a very, very good person, a role model outside and guiding youth. I mean, that speaks volume, not just as a fighter, because that's only half of your life, but as a person and who you are when you step out of the ring. I mean, you're the man in every sense of the word. Joel Moore is definitely right about that, my friend.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate that. I really do. I love Joe Elmore. That's my homie. Like, there's a few of us. I call us like kind of like the bare knuckle outcast because we're good, you know, and we can fight. But we aren't really like the big names or the big draws all the time. But we go out there and we put on. And Joe is definitely one of those guys, you know, and I have much love and respect for him. I can't wait to see when he comes back to the squared circle to work. But in the meantime, I'm just going to try to, you know, keep giving back to the community, keep trying to inspire people and preparing myself for my title shot, because that's what's next on the books.
It better be, right?
Yeah, well, he's under contract.
We're all waiting.
We're waiting, brother. Is it happening? You're contracting, right, for a title shot?
Well, from what I understand, it was in your contract you signed to actually go fight, get the title shot. Right? Am I right?
Yeah. So the last contract was get past Chop Chop, and I'm guaranteed a world title shot. I know it's just kind of a matter of, we know the history between me and the current belt holder, and is he going to man up and fight me and try to truly solidify his legacy as a champion, which isn't going to happen. And so I would be kind of apprehensive about, you know, sacrificing everything that I worked hard for, especially if, you know, that not even a matter of, let's take it, you know, me stop being egotistical in a matter of that I know I'm going to beat him. He knows that this is going to be a fight.
Yeah.
There and there lies the difference. Like, this is going to be a dogfight. And I don't know if that really, really, really is willing to put his livelihood, everything that he's accomplished on the line in that manner. Should he? Yes. Should you stand on all the crap that you talked about me to? Yeah. But I'm looking at it as, you came into the league with a padded boxing record. You beat two people that me and the belt holder at the time had already beat. You beat Johnny in a very, very close fight. That fight could have went either way. I don't care who you are. It could have went either way. And me personally, I thought we were going to see an inaugural sudden death championship round. That's what I was rooting for at the end of the fight. I was like, make them truly earn it. Like, prove, you know? But, hey, but here we are now, fast forward, and it is what it is. I'm next in line. You have to fight me, so it's either step up and fight me or vacate. But don't hold up progress in bare knuckle, and don't hold up, you know, progress for the fans. You're taken away from the fans want to see this fight.
Yeah.
And, right. and I show up and I put on for the fans. You know, I go out there for the bare knuckle family. So, and if you don't stand up and toe the line for that too, you're taken away from all those other people. And you're taken away from the people who support me, and who, whether I win or lose the world title, making it there and going out there and giving my all, makes a difference in so many lives connected to mine.
Yeah, man. So I actually commented on a little
thread.
Thank you. That is the word I'm looking for. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Took me a second to get out.
Like you had this word anyway. So I commented on a thread with Dat, and I called
him
out.
Thank you, Howie. I appreciate that.
I called him in.
My bad.
No, you're good. But I called him out. I said, you know, what about Reggie Barnett? Because he was asking, you know, who should I fight next? What should I go up a weight class? Should I go up two weight classes? And I said, well, don't forget about Reggie, and or something like that. And he said two things to me in his reply. I don't know why he replied to me, because I don't think that he knows who I am, and I don't know if he would care if he did. But he did reply to me, and he said, Reggie doesn't motivate me, and there's no money in it. And that's what he said. So do you think that is, do you feel like that's legit, or do you think, I mean, what are your thoughts on that response? Does it just piss you off and make you want to beat him up more? Or does it, can you empathize?
It's laughable. So when you say somebody doesn't motivate me, right? What that means is that I'm not willing to put myself through the fire in training and in camp to prepare to fight this person, because that's what I know I have to do in order to go out there and, you know, retain my belt, win the fight or whatever. That when you say he doesn't motivate me, that's what it means, is I'm not willing to put myself through a hard training camp, through the fire, to go out there and put on my best to defend my belt. That's what that means.
I also think it also means that, hey, either I don't want to put forth the effort, or I don't have anybody, working with me. I don't have enough, a strong teammate that can help me to promote this fight, you know, because there's money in any fight that you can promote, you know, in my
opinion. This fight is already promoted itself. What do you do? You can't go on a bare knuckle thread now. You can't go on a bare knuckle post with anything on it that doesn't say, when are we going to see Dat versus Reggie?
Right.
I mean, if y'all, like, we get in the numbers and pull it up anytime, even if they post something that has absolutely nothing to do with me, somebody puts up there, when is Dat and Reggie going to fight? Why is Dat still? There's no money in the fight. That's between you and Dave. But I'm not, at a certain extent, I am a prize fighter. Yes, I do feel like I deserve to be paid for my skill and my craft. But I'm building a legacy here. Did I freeze?
Nope.
Why I look like I froze?
You're good on my end.
Oh, to myself, it looks like I froze. So as long as y'all can still see me, I'm cool.
We got you.
I'm building a legacy. And the way this sport has started, if you expect to make, I guess, that $1 million or 11 or however much money those YouTube guys are making for their bullshit fights, excuse my language, because that's exactly what they are. This is real fighting, and this is still a new sport. So if you're over there asking Dave, if you're over there asking Dave for imaginary numbers, then that's just a personal defect of your own. I'm realistic about what I feel like I deserve and I earn for my craft. But at the end of the day, I'm not really truly fighting for money. I'm fighting for legacy. And I'm smart enough to know I have the precept to know that when I came into this sport and in the new birth of this sport and where I was in my career, that I wasn't going to be rich off of fighting, right? I'm rich in life off of the things that I've accomplished, the people I've touched, and how my life has changed. But if we talk monetary wise, I have positioned myself so that money is made on the back end. That's what a smart person does.
Yep.
So if you're saying there's no money in the fight, that's another cop-out excuse, because none of us, I don't care, even if I don't, if.
And you build about.
They can even never pay Paige VanZant enough money than what she's worth to go out there and put her life on the line there. No, it's just not feasible.
And to your point, to your credit, right now, BKFC, they're starting off at the ground floor. They're building something. Dave Feldman is playing the long game. He developed an app. I believe the Paige VanZant, they did release a report where the Paige VanZant fight, the main event for Knucklemania, only got between $5,000 and $25,000 buys, which is about $6 per buy. And obviously, you know, you're playing the long game where you want to build subscribers, and it's going to add up as you build up subscribers and a fan base. And when you, you know, he's playing the long game, and you guys are pretty much, they're putting the BKFC on your back. Your back, Joe's back, Paige's back, Garcia's. Well, Garcia retired, but. You guys are going to be the rock stars. You guys are going to be part and partners in this and building it. Right now, there's really no money fights, considering that BKFC is throwing off at the ground floor. Just like when Zuffa just bought the UFC, where, you know, they're trying to build up fans. They're trying, and the way to do that is putting on the fans that the fights that fans want to see. You versus Dak is going to be the fight that people want to see. They're going to show highlights everywhere of that fight. It's going to be a barn burner. It's going to be a fucking crazy fight between two of the best. And, you know, that's how you play the long game. That's how you build up subscribers. That's how you build up money. And that's how you build up the sport when you put on the fights that people want to see. You versus Dak is literally going to be one of those classic fights that is going to just build more of an audience. And correct me if I'm wrong, Reggie, if you see it better than I do.
So
come again? No, you're not. And man, I wish, I don't know. I don't want to like give so much away, but these guys, they look at it from just the fighting aspect of it. I love fighting. I love combat sports and every facet and entity of it. And so, yes, am I going to fight until my career is over and I'm done fighting? Yes. But I, like I said, I'm positioning myself to make sure that I'm tied in with this sport for the longevity of it, like you said, the long game. And that's where my growth comes from. That's where the financial surplus comes from. See, that's the biggest problem is he beat Miguel Flores, you know, and shocked the world. I'll give him his props. And then he thought he was so high and mighty that they needed to pay him so much more than what he deserved at the time. Okay, you beat him, but you have to prove yourself. And he wasn't willing to do that. Okay, you beat Johnny, but you need to prove yourself. Over and over again, you know, we get back to this point where if you beat me, okay, bro, I'll sit down and shut up and I'll stand on it. If you somehow beat me, I am a man and I have no shame, right? But at the same time, you can't run around here talking all that trash, saying all these things, doing all these things. You get poking your chest out like you God's greatest gift to bare knuckle and then not prove that shit. Excuse my language. I'm sorry, y'all. Get a little bit of passion.
Can I give my opinion on some of this? Do y'all mind?
Yeah.
So here's what I think.
Can you go grab my baby girl? Can you go grab my charger, please?
So what I think is that I think Reggie, you're absolutely right.
Just by the bit.
It's a ground floor opportunity, and I don't think that most fighters. There might be like a select maybe. One, two, maybe three that are going to make real money from their fight purse. And those people that make that money are going to be people that already have a name coming into this. Right.
And I understood that, you know, when me and Dave started this, when he accepted me from the the tryout, he was like, because I've been here since the very first tryout. I'm an absolute, and I still look at myself as a nobody. And,
right?
Yeah, no, Sam has too, you know, and I still look at myself as a nobody as far as in combat sports. But he was like, when we're done, you're going to be a star. He's like, I'm going to make you a superstar. And I was like, Dave, I don't really know if I got superstar qualifications, but I'm going to go out there and fight my ass off for you every time that you put me in there. And that's exactly what I've done. And I brought eyes to the sport, and I brought boxing eyes to the sport. I brought MMA eyes. I brought haters to the sport. It's not about bringing in a money fight, because we're going to keep – it's about helping this sport grow.
But there's still money to be made, and that's my point. There's
plenty of money to be made.
And I think that if there are fighters out there listening to this, what I want to say as a business manager for one of these fighters, and in my opinion, one of the top guys certainly in the heavyweight division, but one of the top guys in the entire promotion.
Let him know, baby. Let him know.
You know, hey, Sam Shoemaker, Hillbilly Hammer, listen.
Yes, sir.
Does anybody else here have their own beer right here?
Not me.
Nah.
Sorry. Okay. Listen, the Hillbilly Hammer beer, but that's one example, but I'm just saying there is money to be made. And I think that where a lot of fighters are going to miss out is that they're going to expect to be paid by the organization on some big money fight. And I think that if that's what your expectation, if you're not Paige Van Zandt, you know, you're missing the boat. Here's the thing, man. Go ahead. Okay.
Oh, no, but I respectfully disagree. I think, you know, Forrest Griffin, besides the MMA nerds and fight nerds like me who, like, grew up watching the sport and idolizing these guys, nobody knew who Forrest Griffin was. Nobody knew who Stephen Blauber was. When you put them together, they had perfect chemistry of putting on a spectacular performance that turned the corner in the UFC's financial gains and getting into pop culture. They were the stars.
That's the me and dad fight. That's the fight.
Yeah,
Barnett Jr. versus Dak Gwynn is that fight.
It's the fights.
No matter what the outcome of the fight, that fight in itself is going to turn the corner for bare knuckle.
I would agree with that.
And I want to be a part of that, because no matter what side I come out on, it's a win-win for me. It's still life-changing for my family.
You will be. You are already a part of it, you know? Yeah. You're already a part of it. Sam's already a part of it. Joey Beltran's already a part of it, you know? And Joe Elmore, if you're listening. Joe Elmore is part of it, you know? Johnny Bedford even is part. I mean, Christine Ferrer.
Yeah,
you guys are all part of it.
You're putting the sport on your back. All you guys need is just that event that just fucking floors everybody. People go on their social media saying, holy shit, check out this fight. Just like in 2005, everyone was on Amos the Messenger on their fucking Nokia.
Yeah, man.
Saying, holy shit, turn on Spike right now. It's going down. Fucking classic event where every fight kills it. Reggie.
In all honesty, I feel like if Dave would have made them fight one more round, the Bedford and Gwynn fight would have been that fight for that. If they would have made them do a sudden death championship round, do you know, like, the growth would have came from that? But we can't sit here and could have, would have, should have. Long game, I'm trying to get bare knuckle legalized here where I live.
Yeah, man.
Before I retire from bare knuckle, I'm trying to sell out a stadium right here at home in Virginia. Do you know how much money that would how many fans I have all across this state, in the North Carolina, Texas, Tennessee, I mean, Maryland, the East Coast. I mean, they would come from, and I'm not gloating on myself, but if we brought a bare knuckle card right here at home, I would sell it out completely. Me, Britton Hart, Zion Thomason, Brian Max, throw the Virginia fighters all on one cart.
Yeah, man.
And that's my long game.
But,
you know what I'm saying?
Listen.
I'm positioning myself for stuff like that. And whoever wants to get in my way and think that they're going to mess that up, it's going to get beat up. Period. And Dak's the next in line to catch an ass whooping if he wants to step up.
But in the short term, a thought I want to put into your head, and I'm sure you already are thinking this, so I'm not teaching you anything that you don't already know. I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. But in the short game, the long term, there are going to be some money fights as this continues to grow. You have a Reggie versus Dak fight that is a knockdown drag out, et cetera, and so on. And that's going to happen. I don't, you know, somewhere, some way between two fighters, there's going to be this big fight that blows the whole thing up. But in the meantime, I want these fighters to know that you can make money doing this, even if you don't have a huge fight purse. I just want to say that.
Well, shout out to my momager, Kim Barnett, straight up, because that's what it's been about, is not just relying on a fight purse to sustain my life and not relying on my day job. I have so many different entities and facets to help. And at the end of the day, not only does it help me, it still also helps bare knuckle grow. The more that I grow, the more bare knuckle grows, so the more that I grow. You know, they go hand in hand with yourself. And so you're not just having to get in there and take a freaking ass whooping every time or dish out ass whoopings every time to help increase the value of this sport.
Absolutely. So Brittany Serrano has a question. And I just want to give a little background here. I love Brittany. Brittany, if you're listening, actually, I know you're listening. I love you. But you're going to lose our bet. So we do have a bet. She is personally attacking me right now. Not really, but so I'm putting my money on Sam and she's putting her money on Joey. And but whoever wins the bet pays our, so we've made $100 bet. I wanted to go more than that, but you know, Brittany's scared. But $100 bet. So the winner of this bet, the loser of the bet pays $100 in donation to hashtag Britain's Battle to Bobo Abandon's wife's charity fundraiser. Carino, sorry, not Serrano. Brittany,
Carino.
I'm going to continue Serrano until this bet's over.
Chicken.
I love you. But you must know your opinion.
So somebody asked me this when we were at the fight. And for me, this is really tough. So I absolutely love Joey Belton. The first time I met him, I was absolutely like starstruck. You know, I was kind of fanboys because here I am with this, you know, accomplished fighter I watched as a kid. And I was like, but then I met Sam. I met Sam at the first tryout. I met Sam before I met Joey, but it was just kind of a brief encounter because it kind of separated us little guys from the big guys. And then I met Sam, I met him. And then I met his boys, and I met his wife, and I met his family. And I love Joey Beltran for the fighter that he is. You know, I absolutely love his tenacity, his heart, his grit. But then when I looked at Sam and what he does on a daily basis, how he goes about his life and working and still chasing his dream and wanting to support his family, I'm in the same freaking boat. And so I have to ride with that. And I'm rooting for that all day. I take nothing away from Joey Beltran. He knows that I love him to death. But when I look at it on a personal level and just the circumstances behind it, I got to root for Sam. I am. Like in my heart, it's like I identify with that man wholeheartedly. And I'm like, yep, go out there and shock the world. Show that the average hardworking, you know, man can be extraordinary.
Yeah, man.
If he's willing to put in that hard work, if he's willing to put in that dedication. And because that's everything that Sam represents. And I'm not saying that Joey does it, because I'm not taking away from Joey at all. But like I said, when I look at it from the personal aspect. And so that's my opinion. Is it going to be a war? Yeah. I think it's going to be a war. I feel like Sam's going to come out with his better boxing prowess this time and start picking Joey apart. We're going to see what Joey does. Get fucked. fuck up and bring the pain, bring the thunder, and we're going to see how Sam, you know, can deal with it. And if he can deal with it, then he's going to get Joey out of there. And if he can't, then Joey's going to get Sam out of there. But either way, I'm excited to see this fight. But still, like I said, I'm Team Shoemaker. If I have to draw the line, sadly, I like I said, it's nothing against Joey Beltran. I absolutely love him. But I'm Team Shoemaker on this.
Thank you. Thank you for your support, my brother.
You realize if Shoemaker wins, he's going to show up on the show with his king's hat, his cow, greatest manager ever t-shirt, big suitcase full of money.
I will. Now, Sam would never in a million years gloat or do anything like that because he's
I'm talking about you, sir.
Yeah. You better believe it. You better believe I'm gloating my ass off, brother. Like there. But and again, I'm with Reggie. Like Joey.
I like what Brittany said. I like what Brittany just said. She said that she would have to kill Joey to get that belt, right? And Sam isn't a killer. I don't really agree with that statement.
Right? Yeah, I don't either.
Because I'm the same way. I'm the same way. I'm not a killer outside that ring, but once that. And my mentality is you're trying to take food out my family's mouth. You're trying to take my kid. Like, my mentality for the Chop Chop fight was that he was trying to take my son from me. Could you imagine somebody, what you would do if you had children and somebody was trying to take them from you, what you would do to them?
No,
that was my mentality going into that fight. Oh, you would take – oh, no, it's not happening. You got to kill me. And so I know that Sam has similar circumstances and things in his life that will point that he's going to use – to walk in that square circle of killer. So it's going to be two killers against each other. You know, it's just who's going to kill who first, period. I mean, that's just what it's going to be.
And it's interesting stylistically. So can Sam survive the onslaught of Joey coming forward and his incredible cardio, and can Joey survive the getting outpointed and the absolute undeniable power of Sam? And that's what it's going to come down to. So, but you know, hey, Sam has another level of brutality and another level of animal that you guys haven't seen yet. I don't want to talk about Sam too much. I love Sam, and obviously I'll sit here and talk about my guy all day because I want to promote him, but we are here to talk about Reggie Barnett. And so, we want to honor that, but so go ahead.
That's cool. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
you're actually going to be on the cover of a magazine, correct?
Where's
your magazine? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So a buddy of mine, Rich Magazine, they normally do more or less like sport models, fashion, whatever. So he's actually putting me on the cover of his first sports issue.
Wow.
I don't know why he picked bare knuckle fighting of all types of sports. I mean, he could have went and got basketball, but there's so many other sports out there that you could really like bring if you want to bring in sports, bring it's some legitimacy to it. But yes, it is one of the fastest growing sports. But I'm absolutely honored to be one on the cover, and two, to be a feature in a magazine in any capacity. It's growing. You know? And so not only just the picture wise, just my story gets shared again, you know? So I'm so grateful for him, you know, for doing that for me and being able to just, you know, give another part of me to the community. Every time we do something, every time we move forward, all of it is to project and make sure that the people know the story, you know? If you don't, go look it up, go find out, go to my YouTube page. Google me if you want to do the research, however you want to figure out or find out the story, because it's about getting that message of hope and inspiration out there. And everything that I do, just Rich putting me in this magazine and allowing me to be on the cover, helps get that story out there a little bit more. Oh yeah, definitely check out educatedhands.co. We just launched my new website.
Woo!
Everything easy up there. Shout out to Rob Doggett over at JKD Process for hooking me up and putting in the work. You can definitely go on there and check out everything Educated Hands. We, like I said, we have so much stuff going on. We're giving back to the community. We're teaching. We're doing virtual lessons. It's just It's a lot, but I'm enjoying the ride. I really, really am. And it's so far removed from sitting in a cell and and not knowing what the next stage of my life was going to be. And so if I can use any of these things to help guide another soul so they don't have to feel as low as I've felt at some points in my life or go through the things that I did that I really suffered through, then I'm doing it. I'm doing it. That's the and I get to kick people's asses in the process. That is life in a nutshell. Chase your dreams, y'all, because I'm chasing mine and I'm getting to beat people up.
Exactly. It makes perfect sense that you're on the cover of the first sports issue because one, you play basketball with one ball, football with one ball, soccer with one ball, but bare knuckle takes two balls. So like, and you're one of the stars of the sport. So like, putting you on the cover makes absolute fucking perfect sense.
That is gold, brother. That's so good.
Yo, that was gold.
I love it.
I might have to steal that.
You steal that, sir. You may steal that. And you know what? And your story is so inspirational. Like, how can you not be a fan of Reggie? Like, how can you not be a fan of your story, what you stand by, and you know, just watching you progress in bare knuckle fighting? Your story is inspirational as shit. When you fight, it's always entertaining, and you're one of the biggest stars in the promotion. And you're one of the stars again, just like this man's client, and just like all these fighters, like Ferreira and. You know, Britain Hart, like all these plethora of fighters are putting the sport on their backs and building it up from the ground up and turning this into a mainstream sport. You know, it makes perfect sense. I think it's modest, but it makes absolute fucking perfect sense why they would put you on the cover. Just saying.
And right. That's what it was for. I told my dad when we started this, we're building a legacy. At the end of the day, when they look back at history, they're going to see both of our names in the books and be like, yeah, we were here when it started at the beginning. And I'm cool with it.
Yeah, man. Hey, so Brittany Serrano, Carino, has one more question. What was your favorite fight of BKFC 17, Reggie?
Hold on. 10 fights, 10 finishes. I'm still gonna have to say O'Bannon versus Calvis.
Mm-hmm.
That was my favorite fight of the evening. So I really, really, really enjoyed that fight. It was brutal. You could tell that Calvis wasn't as skilled as Bobo at some aspects of it, but you could tell how hungry that man was, and he wasn't gonna quit himself. Right. Exactly what happened was gonna happen. You know, he was either going to be knocked out cold or they was going to make him quit. Definitely.
It was a little incredible performance. I mean, just a show of heart, man. I mean, those two guys, they both came out. And I think David Feldman said it perfectly, that neither one of them had anything left to give. I mean, they put it all out there. And man, Zach Kalmus, man, that guy's going to continue to develop, I think. And I think that he, you know, if he continues to develop his skills and, you know, if he gets with a really great trainer and gets on a good program, and maybe he already is. I don't know much about Zach, but I'm hopefully going to learn more on Sunday when he's on Bare Knuckles Most Wanted podcast. That guy, if nothing else, he is one tough dude and he has a ton of fun, you know. So
yes, I can't wait to see him come back and get better. Can I comment on Howie's thing right here down at the bottom? Yeah. I don't even think I should really give it too much, whatever, but I just want to drop this right here. Right. He said exactly what people are talking more about Brandon and Robert in the crowd. Right. And we're professional athletes. Right. And when you're a professional athlete, you're supposed to conduct yourself in a certain manner that dictates that you're a professional athlete. And talking trash and, you know, jeering at each other and talking shit, you know, it's part of the fight game. You know, that's just understandable to a certain extent, you know, because I had a couple, I guess, trolls or haters, whatever, try to bring my children, you know, into these conversations right after the event last week. You know, I guess I pissed a few people off on my annex afterwards, right? But at any point, when it gets to the point where you guys are so enthralled or endeared with each other that y'all start fighting outside of the ring, it takes away from your credibility as a person. It takes away from your credibility as a fighter. And then it also takes away from our credibility as a sport.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about fans fighting in the stands. I'm talking about the dudes who are supposed to be in the squared circle fighting. Right? I'm like I said, I'm campaigning. I'm petitioning. I'm right behind Dave Feltman. Now, he may not know it all the time, but I'm trying to get other states to open up for us. You know? But if you guys can't conduct yourselves like professionals and are out here acting like assholes, what does that say to the other states when they look at us like, well, damn.
Yep.
Right?
I agree. And I, you know,
I don't know if I'm wrong for saying this.
No.
Or if I hurt anybody's feelings. And if I did, I'm sorry that your butt hurt about reality. But I said, mine is bigger picture. I'm trying to get the country to open up to us.
Yeah, man. So
it took years for Dave to get states to open it up, right? And we got them one by one by one. But if we as the representatives of this country of this company can't go out there and conduct ourselves, whether we want to talk trash to each other or not in a professional manner, what is this? I'm just like, shit, I'm not letting you idiots come over here and, you know, not only are y'all fighting and they're fighting out. No, we got to do a little better than that, guys. You know, I love the whole bare knuckle family and I respect all the fighters, you know, but I want to see this sport continue to grow. And the only way it grows is we open more doors, and we can't open more doors if we're freaking. Yeah, I'm gonna leave it at that. I went off on a little tangent, but I'm sorry.
Just to implore on that, one of my favorite fighters growing up was Kazuchi Sakuraba. Sakuraba, when MMA was on a downturn, Sakuraba sold out 100,000 seat Olympic Stadium just being Sakuraba. Didn't talk shit, not much, except to the Gracies, a little bit. He was like playful. But Sakuraba sold out 100,000 seat arena. You can make money without, you know, the trash talk and everything. Like, it's possible. You can build a character, you can build a brand without always fucking going crazy and doing the Conor McGregor bit. You know, it's old. You know, it's Jake Paul type shit. And I don't like Jake Paul at all. He's a piece of shit. Fuck him.
There's two sides to that, Howie. I mean, it does teach the kids that words have consequences, but also at the same time, you know, some people, well, all of us should conduct ourselves in a manner to where we're not doing it so much that we're pissing people off to the point where we got to be fighting outside the ring. So save that shit for the squared circle if it's really that serious. That's just all I'm good. The rest I'm going to say about it. I just want to see our company continue to move forward. I want to continue to see us put on bigger and better shows in different states and different venues. And you know, the way we do that is kind of, even though not all of us like each other, as an old adage, it says you could not like everybody in the room, but still sit in the room.
Yeah, exactly. For sure.
And so we're going to wrap this up like a Christmas present. And I was I was a fan of your performances in the ring, but outside of the ring, you are absolutely the man. That made me even a bigger fan. So where can we find you on social media? Shout out your sponsors. Where can we find you? Where can we support your career and your cause and your bid to capture the throne?
Word. So definitely my Instagram _EAZ_E_. Check out Easy. Like I said, we just launched our new website, educatedhands.co. And up there, there are links to all of my sponsors, my millions.co, Gordon Custom, my My House Sports Gear, my Shore Construction. All of my sponsors are up there, right there on the website. I think there's like 15 of them now. It's just absolutely growing. Bare Knuckle Freak, thank you so much for bringing me on. Where else? Oh, I'm on Twitter, Educated Hands. I don't tweet that much because I got banned once, and so I just kind of I play nice on Twitter. Fine line. My YouTube page, I have _EAZ_E. It's got all my classic fights, some of my old boxing matches. We're getting ready to upload my my amateur boxing matches from when I was a kid. I found the old, you know, like 8mm tapes and the old school one. So we ripped in the CDs, and I feel like I should share that with people, you know, for the kids, so they can see that you start, but you got to start somewhere. You know, you see it, even if you hit some hard roads, you know, I started somewhere. And then, so just trying to definitely get out there and do that. And then anything 757 boxing, please check it out. 757 boxing, you know, it's my home gym. We do so many great things for our community out here. We have the largest amateur team right now in the area. So I just, hey man, y'all know me. I don't try to, if you somebody, and I guess since we're wrapping it up, I just want to leave it like this. And my manager may or may not be mad about how we end this. First of all, I want to tell you guys, thank you so much for having me on. You guys giving me a voice, giving me, you know, I know I'm a little long winded sometimes and I can talk. I'm trying to get better at doing this interview.
Love the story. I love when you talk, man. Keep talking, brother.
Somebody said, oh, well, nobody knows who you are. You're a nobody. Right? And when I was younger, words like that, when I was bullied, I used to let stuff like that eat at me and it would get to me. And I had a hard time dealing with it. And then I thought about it now and it was like, no. I'm not a nobody. I'm the right body. And what I mean by that is the people who are supposed to know me, know me. The people who have heard my story have heard it in their time. Everything happens according to God's purpose. And so I'm the right body. When it's time for you to know about my story, when it's time for you to hear about bare knuckle through me, it happened. And that is the purpose of it. And I'm going to continue to walk the journey in that manner.
So, the fucking man.
I didn't come into this sport to be no freaking super famous. I came into the sport to change lives and to change my life. And I'm doing it. And I'm chasing my dream. And if I can inspire other people to chase their dream, I am. And it'll happen according to its purpose. And I leave it at that. And so I don't ever want to gloat on myself. The people who are supposed to find me, they'll find me when they're supposed to.
But, yeah, man. Listen, hey, I was telling you, I know who you are. I'm a fan, and I consider you a friend. And I really appreciate you giving this time.
Thank you. I really, really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
We'll have you back on
the show, brother. Reggie Barnett, the fucking man. Dude, thank you so much for coming on the show, brother.
Thank you, man.
Thank you guys so much for having me. Y'all have a great evening. Y'all stay blessed. Hey, I'm leaving this debt. Remember what I said. If you fight somebody else before you fight me, you are no longer Dak Quinn. You are Duck Quinn. You make that decision.
Thank you so much, Reggie.
I love it. I love it.
Wow. One of my favorite guests we ever had on the show. That
he's great. Wow.
A story. He has some inspirational stuff to say. A lot of insight. Makes you think. He made me a fan. I'm on the fucking Reggie.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've been a fan of that guy. He's so real.
Gonna say it's the second time we've had him on, but this time, man, I'm a big fan. His whole story is amazing.
Absolutely,
hell yeah! So we're ready to wrap up the show like the Christmas present. But before we wrap it up, this show is brought by Draker Protein. If you want to get jacked, I'm talking real jacked. I'm talking about, you know, slapping some girl on the ass and nobody do anything about it, Jack. No, I'm just kidding, guys. Don't even do that. I don't want to get canceled. I'm just kidding, guys. But if you want to get ripped, don't do anything but grow your dick big. You know what I'm saying? Like, it does wonders. I've been using it. Obviously, it's starting to work on me. I'm a little guy. But Drinker Nutrition, incredible. Order some product. And it's brought to you by Kaiju MMA and Fitness. Our good buddy Gabe, four-time world champion and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, runs this incredible school in California. If you want to train with a former UFC vet and four-time world champion, please go down to Kajua MMA and Fitness. The fucking shit. Train with Gabe. Good times. And learn from the best and some great guys, great people down there you can train with. And I want to shout out to Matt coming on the show, one of the best, not fucking you, motherfucker. I'm talking about Well, I'm curious. Fight manager is in the game, baby. Coming on our show, gracing us with his presence. So, sir, any final words? Obviously, you know you're repping Sam to the day you die, and you're going to bring your client to the top. So, final words from one of the greatest fight managers in the game right now.
Well, I just want to say that Brittany Serrano, I'm sorry, Carino, you're going to lose the bet, but I love you. And other than that, thank you to everyone who has become a fan of Bare Knuckle. It is, in my opinion, the most exciting combat sport in the entire world. And if you're not already familiar with Sam Shoemaker, he's my client. I'm his business manager. And he is the number one world-ranked heavyweight bare-knuckle fighter in the entire world. And he is going to be the next heavyweight champion. And you can take that to the bank. And I appreciate both of you guys right here for bringing me on as a co-host tonight and making me a part of the Fight Mixer family and the Bare Knuckles Most Wanted podcast. I'm currently a new host, co-host on, thank you, Howie, on Bare Knuckles Most Wanted. And man, I'm just enjoying this so much. I love this sport. And you guys, this, I'm so excited to be part of this team. Thank you.
He's got a brain for bare knuckle like no other. Obviously, this is, you know, you're just as good as your manager. And obviously, managing Sam to the top and all his success, I mean, it comes down to the manager who's guiding his path. One of the brightest brains, one of the smartest brains in bare knuckle. And you can watch him on Bare Knuckles Most Wanted on the Amazon app. We are number 12 in the world on Amazon. How the fuck did that happen? I have no idea. The place. Wait, what?
We dropped the place.
Oh, we're 13. Okay. Well, hey. Thank you for that. But Sam, all the credit goes to Sam for being a badass.
Absolutely. Yeah. So watch him on Bare Knuckles Most Wanted every Monday, correct?
I think we're doing Sundays.
Sunday evening.
Okay, even better. Watch it on Sunday, right after you go to church, come home, watch this guy talk about Bare Knuckle fighting. And also watch Fight Mixer on Amazon, Roku, Apple TV, Elite Streaming. I don't give a shit. Just fucking watch us. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Fight Mixer, producer Matt, this Matt, signing off from the Fight Mixer. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Perfect.